that leg out. He's get that leg out. He's broken down right now in a minute 52 seconds, and this takes a lot more energy when you're on bottom getting rid than when you're on top. Now he stacked up. Should have been two back points there, but the official was a little bit slow getting there. He rolled through slow enough. That should have been a two count. Should be 6-1 right now, but it's 4-1. All right, Jerry, you need to clear that leg. Across by your eyes being put in there by Mazur. He is just a little bit high, so if Jerry can get the legs out, he'll be all right. But now he's got both legs in. Mackinis needs to reach down, and now he's getting stretched out in the guillotine, and he's in trouble. It's back points for Mazur against Mackinis, and now Mackinis trails, I believe, it's a escape, makes it one. We'll have a stop in the action for blood time. There's a pretty good bloody nose, and this really is probably exactly what Jerry Mackinis needs. He got headbutted. He didn't need that, but he's bleeding enough to where he's going to be able to catch a blow here. And he was really, really showing signs of needing some air.
Well, this Williamsburg team here in the WrestleBacks, all five WrestleBacks have Williamsburg wrestlers. They've got the first three, but they've been really come out here, the assertive wrestlers here in WrestleBacks.
Well, Mackinis is, he's bleeding enough now that he's gone through 30 seconds of blood time, and it's not stopped very much, but they're working on him diligently. But he's really gasping for air, and his Williamsburg opponent seems to get stronger as the match goes on. There's our blood timeout music. So Jerry Mackinis, they still haven't touched this hot-blooded blood time. He's still on blood time, and it's coming out of his nose, both nostrils, folks. It's right here in front of us. If I had a set of binoculars, I'd tell you which one.
Yeah, you don't need binoculars from here, I can tell you that.
Williamsburg coaching staff is going over strategy with their wrestler during this timeout for blood. But hey, guess what? They cut the blood timeout. They got it stopped.
Wow.
They're wiping the blood away from his face and nose and lips and chin and chest. Looks like they got some off of his
it's
knees.
Everywhere.
All right. Well, let's see if that was enough of a blow. Little break for Jerry Mackinis where he can try to come out with some superior technique and work some magic. He trails this one 7-2. It's a 5-point deficit. So that's one. Now we're wiping up some more blood there.
He's got to get a takedown and get some back points.
He's got to go
right away.
I think with the limited amount of time that we have left, I really don't think that we're going to be able to. The scorers are going to have to get the clock straight. There we go. We got a minute 13 to go. Mackinis looks over there. He sees that. There is a nice little tie right now, a collar tie for Mackinis. He needs to try to work some inside position, work a hip toss, maybe get in, put some pressure, a dresser dump, an Olympic headlock.
Yeah, we're going to have more blood time
here. More blood timeout. And, Joe, you can give us the blood timeout music because it's not going to be an immediate stoppage.
We might get the whole song again.
They might have cut that blood time a little bit too quickly.
4 minutes of blood time counting.
Folks, we're going to be giving you blood timeout music throughout these postseason wrestling meets. So email, call, or text in your favorite blood songs to Joe Millage at the station, and we'll try to put them in the rotation. And when we call the blood timeout, you'll know that you're being entertained as well as informed when you hear that music that you called in, your preference.
Now Williamsburg, they're taking a commanding lead in this team race. They're 234 points. South Tama is at 196. EBF at 152. Knoxville at 146. And Grinnell at 140. Albion at 118.5.
We're going to come out of this blood timeout with 55 seconds remaining in blood time. They're not done yet.
That's the clock.
Yeah. And put a plug in there, I think.
Yeah, I remember those cotton plugs in the nose. But back in our day, they didn't give you timeout for anything.
I mean,
if your arm was broken, you could give up, but they weren't going to give you timeout.
I'll get rid of that one. Going to go over. Oh man, boy, Jared's been real tough here because he got an inverted headbutt, and instantly the blood was coming.
Yeah, nothing dirty about it at all. Just two wrestlers going after each other, and the Williamsburg wrestler had his head just a little bit lower than Jared did, and And I think that was probably a function of Jarrett's fatigue there. He was showing a little more fatigue then, but he should be pretty fresh now. He's got fresh legs. Neither wrestler showing any signs of fatigue right now for the final 55 seconds. So let's see what Jarrett's got in his tank. Hopefully Coach Helm gave him a couple of encouraging words there and said, hey, you got 53 seconds to score 5 points. Let's make this happen. How about a little feet to back, a little Olympic headlock? Shoot from too far out. We saw that in the final match. We got to set that takedown up. And good job here by the Williamsburg wrestler stalling without getting called for it. But he's got the big 5-point lead. He can afford to do that. 30 seconds to go. We're off the mat, out of bounds, folks. This is a 220-pound elimination match. Jared McInnes for Albia. He's out there against Williamsburg's Isaac Mazur. They're on their feet. It's a 5-point deficit for Albia. Jared McInnes needs to make it happen. He's in on an ankle pick. Can't finish. 15 seconds to go. A takedown is not going to work. He needs to utilize a throw. He's
got to be a quick combo right now.
It's got to be feet to back. It's got to be feet to back. There should have been a stall call there. We didn't see it.
8 seconds
to go. McInnes needs to set it up. Get his hips underneath him. 5-4-3. And it will be Williamsburg with another district qualifier.
4-3.
Mazur. So very disappointing afternoon for Jared McInnes. He goes from top seed to third place and will not advance to the district next week in Knoxville.
Here we go, Cole.
And here we're going to go. Cole Kameen's going to come out here against Lane Pierce. Again, all five wrestlebacks included Williamsburg wrestlers, and to this point, they have certainly made the most of their opportunity.
Yeah, they got the train rolling right now. Yeah. Let's see if Lane Pierce can stop that train.
Aaron Kameen's son, Cole, loses his red ankle band.
And really a couple of unlikely candidates for being here. Both of these wrestlers beat the number two seed to get here. And the top seed, Mario Moncada, did get the championship over Kameen's. But Kameen's in the semifinal round beat the two seed. And in the wrestlebacks, Pierce beat the two seed. So you got the three seed against the four seed here at 285 pounds. And looks like Lane Pierce is going to do what he's been doing most of this tournament here today. He's working some pummeling, some collar ties, kind of waiting for his opponent to maybe make a mistake. But these are equally matched.
Yeah,
folks.
These two a lot like each other.
Lane's had a weight advantage the last couple of matches, but I'd call this a match of equals, Travis.
Yeah, you know, both wrestlers' style is about the same. But neither one of them are per se shoot takedown technique type wrestlers. They like the front headlocks. They like the hip tosses. Both wrestlers now trying to work in on a bear hug. 0-0 your score. 40 seconds left to go here in the opening period.
This is it for the evening, too, folks. This is the 285-pound super heavyweight class from the IHSAA 2A Section 12. We are at sectional wrestling in Williamsburg, where host Williamsburg will be the sectional champion. Albia struggling here to have success in the wrestlebacks. Right now it's Lane Pierce for the Blue Demons with 20 seconds remaining in the first period against Colt Kermeens. Father is a Melrose native. He rode the same school bus as Jason Summers.
Yeah, he's a 1986 graduate. Did ride the same school bus. Went out there to the beautiful school in Melrose, Iowa.
Bright lights, big city. All right, we're going to go to the second period. No score. Imagine that. 285-pounders not getting a takedown in the first period.
This second period brought to you by Double D Repair, Community First Credit Union, Dan and Pat Johnson of Albia, along with our good friends at Albia Hy-Vee. And when you're getting ready for the Super Bowl party, stop out there and get all your food and prep.
Lane takes down to start this second period. He's covered by Kermeens. Kermeens is working off the hips. He's teed out and working hard trying to break down Lane Pierce. Lane with the stand-up, but a nice job with pressure on the shoulders is Cole Kermeens. Kermeens using that heft to keep the pressure on the shoulders of Lane Pierce and keeping him from getting up. And I don't think Lane's used to somebody quite that big here. because he was just about out on that stand-up. But a good job by Kameen putting the pressure on him. Now Kameen has Pierce broken down. Pierce has got his head on the mat. He needs to get up, get to his base. He's working off to the base. It's a power half by Kameen. Kameen's with the power half, but it's wiped off by Pierce. Neither wrestler, I think, is going to be able to execute a straight half Nelson on either grappler because of the girth of their biceps. Be hard to use that forearm as a lever on a half Nelson here. So Kameen's is working the power half, putting the backside of one arm on the top of the head, reaching around through, and a regular half Nelson on the other side, and using that as a wedge on a power half. Not a straight half Nelson, a power half Nelson.
Kameen's is putting a lot of pressure up on the shoulders and just keeping
Pierce just can't
Pierce down.
Get off of his stomach.
Yeah.
All the, I mean, Kameen's is teed out enough. He's high enough that if Pierce could get to his base, he would have a real good shot at getting out, but he just can't get off his stomach with the pressure that Kameen's is putting on him. So it's a 1 minute and 40 second ride for Kameen so far, and Lane Pierce is in danger of not scoring off the bottom, and maybe he'll be able to give him some of the same treatment if Kameen's takes down on his choice. So we're going to go through 4 minutes of scoreless wrestling here at 285 pounds, and
boy, Kameen's just allowed him nothing. Did a good job of putting the weight and making Lane feel his weight the entire second period right out there.
Yep. And folks, if you were not bored on either one of those two periods, that is because of the superior job that Joe Millies has done giving us high fidelity. Right there is Kameen trying to bust out. He took bottom, and he's loose. He's loose, and Lane Pierce is going to be reversed. Oh, he's hanging on to the leg.
He's got
though.
That leg tight. But
Lane's hanging on to the leg, but it's definitely advantage for Means right now.
Means has stepped across. It has
there's
plenty of the angle. Yep.
There's the reversal. There's your first 2 points. So Means is out, and he has reversed Lane Pierce. So Lane Pierce got ridden the whole second period, and he needs to bust out of there.
He's got to get to his base.
Yep, he's just got to get to his base.
But give credit to Kameen's because he just really has put the weight in all the right spots where he just won't allow Lane to...
Yeah, and he's been a lot quicker than
yeah.
Lane.
Here's
now
Lane sit out
by Lane, and he gets to his base. He gets a stand-up. Now he's out.
Wow,
we've
got a contest.
And we've got a contest with 1 minute and 2 seconds remaining.
And Lane went right after that, got the escape, and went right in for a shot. That was the quickest move I've seen Lane make all day.
Boy, I wish these big boys would start doing this in the first period instead of the final 60 seconds.
That'd make it interesting.
All right, good pressure being put on by Lane Pierce now. He's bringing it to Kameen's. He's bull rushing. They're right at the edge of the mat. Now they're off the mat, and a throw attempt by Lane Pierce as they go off the mat.
Final 42 seconds, brought to you by Community First Credit Union, Benton Place Apartments, Belzer Equipment, Pepsi, and Mahaska Bottling.
All right, we got 40 seconds left. Looks like Lane Pierce is going to try a throw. He's going to try a trip. Good job there by Kameen's backing out of it. Kameen's has got inside position, but Pierce has got a...
Oh, my.
Oh, Pierce just about had
it.
26 seconds to go. And now we're off the mat with 23 seconds to go. Lane Pierce nearly took an outside position and turned it into a toss. With 22 seconds to go, Kameen's is definitely on defense with a 2-1 lead. Lane Pierce trying to get his ticket punched to Knoxville next week. And there's a throw down by Kameen's, and they're off the mat with 12 seconds to go.
Oh, wow.
And, folks, the action has finally heated up here at 285 pounds. There are 11 ticks left on the clock, and Lane Pierce is bringing the action to Cole Kameen's. Kameen's now is backing up. There's a double leg shot in there by Pierce, but
3 seconds, two,
out of time.
One, and Cole Kameen's, the son of Aaron Kameen's
and hey,
Melrose gets the win, and that is a clean sweep here.
They ran the table
five
in a row
in WrestleBack.
Wow. You see that very seldom, but it just happened here live on 96.7. Five consecutive WrestleBack victories for the Williamsburg Raiders. They are the champions of this 2018 2A Sectional 12 tournament, and I will let you know how many they punched through. And, you know, Travis, before we sent it back to the studio, let's just keep it right here, and we'll start at 106 and tell everybody how your favorite team did and who are the qualifiers from each of these 14 weight classes at Williamsburg.
Yeah, at 106 pounds, Dalton Gosling from Grinnell was your champion. And the runner-up in that 106-pound class was Caden Grip from Williamsburg.
At 113 pounds, top-ranked Grayson Kesterson from Williamsburg will be your champion. Fourth-ranked Brock Beck from Grinnell takes second place and goes to Knoxville.
120 pounds, Albia's Aiden Reeves was the champion, and runner-up to him and going on to districts will be Tyler Langrabe from Eddyville.
126 pounds, it was top-seeded Jalen Schropp from Williamsburg advancing as the champion, and it's Alex Farmer from Grinnell with second-place points qualifying for the district in Knoxville.
132-pound qualifiers, number 5-ranked Brady Fritz from South Tama County is your champion, and runner-up to him is Garrett Jensen from Williamsburg.
Moving right along to 138 pounds, top-seeded Tanner Probosco from South Tama County is your champion, and it'll be Alex Hanna from EBF qualifying for the Rockets.
At 145 pounds, Eddyville Blakesburg Fremont's number 5-ranked Sage Walker was your champion, and he beat number 7-ranked Colton Vest from South Tama County, and Vest will be the runner-up going on to the districts.
152-pound top-ranked Isaac Judge from South Tama County is the champion, and Joe Hollenreich will go back home and represent the Panthers of Knoxville at the district in second place.
Yeah, and at 160 pounds, we got Calvin Malloy from Williamsburg was your champion, and runner-up will be Cody Ray Smith from Knoxville. He'll be representing Knoxville and Knoxville next weekend.
It's a trifecta for the Knoxville Panthers as Kobe Meyer takes first place at 170, and second place it will be Stenerson, Tucker Stenerson from Williamsburg.
At 182 pounds, Dalton Rosenberg, South Tama County, was your champion, and runner-up to him was Gage Hasenfaber from Williamsburg.
Ben Mason gets second place points for the Albia Blue Demons at 195. He qualifies, and it is champion Josh Holub from Williamsburg.
220 pounds, Knoxville, Chase Bellin was your champion, and runner-up, Isaac Mazur from Williamsburg.
And 285 pounds, champion from South Tama County, Mario Moncada, and in the wrestleback match that you just heard here on 96.7 KIIC, it was Cole Kermes from Williamsburg with the second place points. And that is 11 qualifiers out of this gymnasium from the host Raiders.
Yeah, it's really impressive, particularly this 5-0 run here in wrestlebacks, Travis. That's not easy to do. But, boy, these wrestlers from Williamsburg really came out. They were the aggressors, particularly in these last five matches.
But yeah, they, you know, like Joe said earlier, their coach had them fired up to come out here for these wrestlebacks. You know, and also something else that happened here today, too, was that Williamsburg wins the sectional, so that's going to give them the top seed in the district team duel pairing that's going to happen this week, and we'll see more as the week unfolds and the end of the weekend where they'll go and who they'll have to wrestle from the opposing district.
Well, guys, a great day here. It was a trifecta of locations, a trifecta of broadcasters, and a whole lot of fun. It's going to set us up for another big week as we're going to move to Pleasantville and Knoxville next week. And I'll say so long to you guys. I'm going to be gone, and it's going to be a lot of fun listening to you guys carry the rest of the way as we'll close the lights out at Wells Fargo Arena in this 2018 high school wrestling tournament. I want to thank Ron Terpstra, the living legend that he is, for bringing us live coverage over in Liberty Center. Jamie Brockman, Brett Sam. So Brett Sam's doing a great job today up in North English. And a big thanks to all of our sponsors and to all of you for making us a part of your Saturday. You've been listening to the 2018 Iowa State High School Wrestling Tournament Sectional Saturday. We'll go back to the KIC studio and get an update on Centerville and Sheraton as Jay Mill winds things down on this opening day of the 2018 Iowa State High School Wrestling Tournament. You want to stay right here. Thanks so much for joining us today. And Jay Mill, give us those Charger and Big Red updates. Wind us out for the day.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. I think Ron Terpstra has been home for an hour with his feet up on the Lazy Boy. His tournament was over a long time ago at Liberty Center. I think you guys were actually the last tournament in the state of Iowa to still be going at it here at 5:40, 5:50. I don't think we've ever gone this long with the sectional tournament. But good job, you guys. Thanks for lacing them up today. And we will likely be bringing you Sigourney-Kyoto team duels on Tuesday night. We'll figure out all of the logistics on that. Thanks a lot, guys. Just to wrap things up for some of the other coverage that we had today, Centerville is taking Matt Lewis, Nathaniel Genobana. I've had trouble with his name all day. Sorry about that, Nathaniel. Also, Caden Kozlerich, Tiger Terpstra, and Stephen Wardlow on to district. So congratulations, Centerville. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on to district. Sheraton will send Gabe Rupke, Dylan Harberts, also Jacob Spencer, and Taylor Good to next week. Davis County has Davian Goring and Wilston Woodrich. PCM with a knockout day for them as well. That's why they're ranked in the state for team duels. It's Colby Lilligard, Peyton Drake, Chase Shirk, Colby Toole, Wes Cumming, also Lucas Rowland, Jared Trosh, and Noah Anderson will add his name to the list from weight class 195.
Horses are like human athletes. They require a superior nutrition program to keep them at the top of their game. Stop by and see the team at Centerville Produce on Highway 5 to pick up a bag of Purina Horse Feed today.
When you are in the field or your tree stand, you don't want to be thinking of anything but what you're aiming at. At Hoyt, they make sure you have the best possible experience bow hunting. They make sure each bow has the best accuracy, durability, craftsmanship, technology, and precision that is unmatched by any other company. Hoyt builds their bows for everyone to have the winning experience each and every time you pull back on the string. Get your Hoyt bow and accessories at Bluff Creek Archery, 117 Washington Avenue East, Albia, Iowa.
Don't close your eyes, let it be me. Don't pretend it's him in some fantasy. Darling, just once, let yesterday go. And you'll find more love than you've ever known. Just hold me tight when you love me. When you love me tonight, and don't close your eyes.
Doing some Keith Whitley for you. Don't close your eyes. Classic country and Ron Foster. Nice to have you.
helping out real Iowa products while listening to real country. That's the Iowa spirit. Roll on, Pella Windows.
Took some time to clear my mind and give myself a change of atmosphere. I had some fun lying in the sun. Daytona's nice this time of year. I saw lovers hand in hand building castles in the sand and doing all the things we did back then. But just when I think I'm through loving you, you're back on my mind again. Back on my mind, time after time, I wonder if this heart will ever mend. 'Cause just when I think I'm through loving you, you're back on my mind again. Shell, really doing well. I met someone who thinks the world of me. She talks of rings and whispers loving things. She's everything you'd want a girl to be. But when she holds me tight, the feeling isn't right. It seems as though I'm never gonna win. 'Cause just when I think I'm through loving you, you're back on my mind again. Back on my mind, time after time, I wonder if this heart will ever mend. 'Cause just when I think I'm through loving you, you're back on my mind again.
The voice of Lake Rathlin, the Blue Demons, and the Cyclones, here on KIIC Albia.
President Trump says the House Intelligence Committee memo.
From Learfield on the Cyclone Sports Network, it's time for the Cyclone Tip-Off Show, brought to you by Curry Seed. 80 years of local experience and proven yield results. Curry, see the difference. Community First Credit Union, featuring 17 locations throughout eastern and southeast Iowa. Visit cfirstcu.com to learn more. And by State Farm, here to help life go right. Now, it's time for the Cyclone Tip-Off Show.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Cyclone Basketball. Tonight, from the Farrell Center in Waco, Texas, it is Iowa State and Baylor. Glad you could join us tonight as the Cyclones try to win it back-to-back. They had a great win, Eric, over West Virginia the other day. Played some of their really most beautiful basketball to watch all season when you're talking about 40 minutes of just terrific effort and execution, and now they try to take that on the road.
Which has been a struggle. I mean, Iowa State has played, had some really good games at home. It hasn't all been that way, but you know, the great win over Texas Tech. But I agree. I think the for 40 minutes, Iowa State best 40-minute stretch was against West Virginia. They were consistent throughout on both ends of the floor, and I think that's what it's going to take tonight, and especially on the defensive end. You know, Baylor doesn't quite have the weapons maybe they've had in the past. They've got some guys that can score, But I really think Iowa State, if they play defense, and if their offense is struggling a little bit, don't let that dictate your defense. I think that's been one of the issues for Iowa State. They've had really good defensive stretches in almost every game, even the Tennessee game. And then finally it kind of broke down when the offense just couldn't score. But you got to maintain that defensive intensity throughout. You know, Cam Lard gives them a real presence inside. Lindell Wigginton is becoming a really good perimeter defender. You know, and Zoran Talley is that X factor. He can guard a lot of different positions. So Iowa State has some flexibility on defense and some of the key components that you have to be a good defensive team. But if you don't do it for 40 minutes, a stretch, a 10-0 stretch in a game like this tonight could spell the difference in the outcome.
Baylor has been kind of devoured by the Big 12 schedule, and then, of course, their SEC Big 12 Challenge game was at Florida. As they've lost six of the last seven, but five of those six losses were on the road. And they're a pretty good team here at home. And 10 losses all season, eight of them to ranked teams. The other two were at Iowa State and Kansas State here. But, I mean, they don't have a bad loss. And so a little bit deceiving when you sit there and look and say, oh, they're the last-place team in the Big 12. As we've said all season, there really isn't a bottom in the Big 12 conference.
You know, I think today, I mean, just look at what happened today. Oklahoma State comes into Lawrence. Cowboys are 3-6 in the league, tied with Iowa State, and they win in Lawrence. They outplayed the Jayhawks from start to finish. It ended up being a 5-point game, but they made all the big plays they had to. And you know, you wouldn't expect that the team that's one game out of last place in the league wins at the first place team, you know, and it's not a fluke.
Right.
I mean, it was just, they were just a better team. And I think, you know, this league is a meat grinder, and it's kind of good news, bad news. I mean, there's not a game you go into that you think you can't win. But you better remember you can lose it, too.
And you better be good if you're going to win it.
You better be pretty good.
We'll come back with more of the Cyclone Tip-Off Show in a couple of minutes. This is the Cyclone Network from Learfield.
We stand for freedom.
We're the Iowa Farm Bureau, and we believe in the future of Iowa. We support Iowa schools, provide access to affordable health care, and nurture new business opportunities in rural communities. For more information, contact your local County Farm Bureau.
Around my house, I'm called difficult. I know what I want, and I always want more. Take my insurance, for instance. I want more coverages, but there's no chance I'm paying more for it. My agent knows this, and that's why she recommended the Selective Edge. With the Selective Edge, I get higher coverage limits and even coverages I didn't know I need. And my agent knows what discounts I deserve. More coverage, more options, less money. That's not too difficult, is it? Find an agent near you by visiting Selective.com. Selective. Response is everything.
Need a pick-me-up? Here's one. Hy-Vee Aisles Online makes grocery shopping simpler than ever with store pickup. Just order your groceries online and let us do the shopping. Choose your pickup time and we'll even bring your groceries right to your car. When life's pace keeps picking up, Hy-Vee Aisles Online grocery pickup is the perfect pick-me-up. Save time. Shop online. Try Hy-Vee Aisles Online grocery pickup today.
Number one soccer mom, plus three-day tournament, times 22 kids all chasing one ball, and a ref who's overwhelmed, equals...
Oh, penalty, come on!
Laryngitis.
You can't control the game, but with United Healthcare, you can have better control of your care. With a mobile app that helps you find a local doctor and has your digital ID card for easy access. Learn more at UHC.com. United Healthcare. Service is not available for all plans.
Back in Waco, where it's Iowa State and Baylor tonight. And Eric mentioned some of the other things going on around the Big 12 Conference today. Oklahoma State won in Allen Fieldhouse, 84-79. Got down 3-0. Came back, took the lead, never gave the lead up again.
Yeah, up 13 at half, and really double digits almost all the second half.
So Oklahoma State improves to 4-6, and Kansas falls to 7-3. And then Texas Tech goes to TCU. They're up 24 at the half, the Red Raiders were. And they go on and dominate TCU in a score that was even worse than the final indicates, 83-71. So big win for Texas Tech. They're now tied with Kansas and so far have the tiebreaker, having won an Allen Fieldhouse themselves.
Yeah, KU has to go, obviously, to Lubbock yet, too, as does Iowa State. So you look at Iowa State with a big win over Texas Tech a couple of weeks ago. Well, man, how things change. Just, I mean, it's such a fluid, dynamic race here in the Big 12. And, you know, I look at this Texas Tech team and, you know, I thought, boy, Keenan Evans is kind of struggling when he was named. Iowa State did a great job on him. And now he had 38 the other night. And, you know, at Texas Tech, you know, playing at home against Texas, almost blew a 13-point lead in the second half, had to come back, and they got it to overtime, and Keenan Evans with 38 points was terrific. So he's been great since then. He was good again today, but you never know what you're going to get.
That's exactly right. And then West Virginia back home licking their wounds. They had lost 5 of 6. Boy, they dominated the second half and beat Kansas State 89-51. Ends up being a 38-point win.
That's
kind of
like West Virginia's win over Texas.
Just kept pulling away.
I mean, they beat Texas by 35.
Wow.
So,
well, they're capable of that.
That's crazy. Of course, Iowa State gets to go there yet, too.
Yes, they do. And they still have two matchups with Oklahoma. And Oklahoma is at Texas tonight, and Oklahoma's trying to jump into that three-way tie, it would be, for first place in the Big 12 with Kansas and Texas Tech. And Oklahoma leading at halftime 40-35 over Texas. Trey Young at halftime. Just a couple field goals, but he has 5 points, 9 assists so far in that game.
And, he's pretty good.
Yeah. We'll get our first glimpse of him.
Okay. What do you think from today? What do you think the odds are? He's at 5.5. He said
5 points, 9 assists. Yes. Yeah. So he ends up with 30.
25 or more. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd say I wouldn't bet against.
I'd put the over at under 25.
I'd take the over. And he'll probably end up with 15, 16 assists to go with it, and have another tremendous game. But Texas hanging in there, that one close at halftime. Here it's Iowa State and Baylor tonight. When we come back, we'll learn more about the Bears. We'll get the scouting report with assistant coach Danielle Robinson. And that's coming up next on the Cyclone Network from Learfield.
When it comes to grain carts, the conversation starts and ends with Kinsey, an exclusive dual auger, low-profile design, and external corner auger, improve visibility and reduce operator fatigue. Unload at speeds up to 750 bushels per minute. Choose from 1,100, 1,300, and 1,500 bushel capacities. All come with a 2-year warranty. Bigger loads, better unloads. Kinsey grain carts are here at Bowser Equipment in Albia, or go to kinsey.com.
Farming is a calling and a dangerous one at that. Every year, an average of 62 good men and women working on farms are electrocuted when farm machines touch overhead power lines. Make sure you have ample clearance, at least 10 feet, between power lines and your combines, grain augers, pickers, balers, and front-end loaders. Keep in mind that uneven ground and shifting soil conditions could put you in harm's way. For more ways to stay safe on and off the farm, visit safeelectricity.org, a message from your friends at Sheraton Valley Electric. Brought to you by Sheraton Valley Electric Cooperative, your touch Energy Partner.
Saddle up your bronc and get ready. The Bull Riders of America are coming to the Bridgeview Center February 2nd and 3rd. The top 25 riders will be competing for $20,000 in cash and prizes. Don't miss out on this exciting event. Friday night is family night with kids games and mutton busting. And Saturday night is the Celebrity Bull Ride. For ticket information, visit BridgeviewCenter.com or call Ticketmaster at 800-745-3000.
No one likes to think about death, let alone plan for it. But making this important decision today allows time for consideration of all details with a clear mind, free from the stresses and confusion immediately following death. Pre-funding a funeral is a thoughtful and loving act to remove the financial burdens from loved ones under difficult circumstances, and it ensures that your wishes will be carried out. It may seem intimidating to begin planning your own funeral. However, the staff at Tharp Funeral Home would be happy to meet with you under no obligation. Contact Tharp Funeral Home in Albia at 932-3129.
This is Cyclone Basketball on Thunder Country.
15th in Ames, 75-65, holding Baylor to 34% shooting in that game. And Baylor was 4 of 18 on threes. The Cyclones hit 9 of 28 threes, led by Lindell Wigginton at a career-high 30 points. He hit 5 of 10 from downtown. They had 7 block shots, led by Cam Lard with a career-high 5. And Eric, a 22-9 run to close that game, where Baylor did not get a defensive rebound in the last 10 minutes. Iowa State got 4 offensive rebounds during that stretch. So Cyclones, we had been waiting at that point in the season for Iowa State to find a way to close a close conference game, and they did it that day.
You know, Iowa State, 3 wins in conference play, all by double figures. I mean, 2 resounding wins. You know, West Virginia by 16 and Texas Tech, 8th ranked at the time, by 18. The Baylor game was 10, but it wasn't that. It wasn't a double figure kind of game. Iowa
right.
State kind of, as you mentioned, closed it out late, and after really having a couple disappointing ones. So we'll see if Iowa State can find a way to close again, because once again, they haven't had a close game really since the Baylor game. Either way,
let's learn more about the Bears with Iowa State assistant coach Danielle Robinson. DRW had a great plan against West Virginia. It was just kind of fun to see all those things fall into place for these guys and them to have a really fun moment like that.
Yeah, it was good. The guys came together. They responded exactly the way we would like them to after what happened against Tennessee and the focus that they had for practice leading up to the West Virginia game was great. And for them to have some success out there, that's rewarding for us all.
Kind of a different look now with Baylor. What's the key to attacking whether they're playing man or zone?
As you know, they have such length across their front line, and they got veteran guards. You know, we're going to have to do a good job of attacking inside out, whether they're in man or zone. And I think getting the ball up quick and trying to attack early in transition, that'll help us. And you know, one thing we're going to have to do is really shore up the glass. They pounded us on the offensive glass last time in Ames, and we're fortunate we hit some shots late to hold them off.
What about defensively, in addition to rebounding, what else do you have to do well on that end of the floor?
Gosh, I think we gotta communicate. We got to lock in on LeComp. I mean, he is, last 5 games, he's averaging like, I think, 21 a game. And then they've got some other guys that stepped up. Nooney Omot is playing well as of late. He's 10 of 17 in his last 5 games from the 3. So we got to do a good job of being there on the catch on those shooters, not letting the post get deep touches. And then, as a committee, rebounding and getting the guards to rebound down and running when we can.
And Danielle Robinson, the Iowa State assistant coach with the scout on tonight's game. He agrees with you, Eric. It kind of starts on the defensive end.
I think so. And I think for most teams,